Live from New York City, it's the Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null. This is the Empowerment Hour. Today, from Tohoku University in Japan, comes an important piece of research for those who have Alzheimer's or dementia, and I want to know, what are some of the things we can do? Well, they're saying that oral glutathione, gluta, G-L-U-T-A, thione, T-H-I-O-N-E, inhibits oxidative stress and inflammatory responses in their research, and that could help people with Alzheimer's disease. Now, Alzheimer's is the most common neurodegenerative disease characterized by the presence of extracellular amyloid B plaques and extracellular neurofibrillary tangles. And you just don't have enough antioxidants. You don't have enough good nutrients in the brain if you have too much inflammation. We'll talk about that and about 12 other important studies, all from peer-reviewed literature. Then we're going to go to your feedback, your talkback, where you have a chance to call in and share your points of view. And it's been on the subject of aging and your different perceptions of aging and what we who are senior citizens and baby boomers and our parents who are still alive, some, what we need to do what is right for us individually and as a group. Just like we need to start looking at the sanctity of life, all life. What would happen if you looked at if the Israelis and Netanyahu looked at Palestine, not the violent ones, not the terrorists, but just the average Palestinian, the children, the parents, the grandparents, as human beings, would you then accept the current way that they're dealt with? If you who were angry at the world, look at people and say, what do we have in common beyond our disappointments and anger, our discouragements and fears? You'll find you have a lot more in common than what you imagine. So there's a way that we start to bring humanity together again and set aside the radicalized differences of who's right and who's God's better and was first, and we have to just treat each other with more respect and dignity and manners and morals. When you honor that which is sacred in another person, that person's more likely to honor what is sacred in you. Therefore, no need for conflict and violence, demonization. Just a thought. So we're going to hear from people who called in already, and then you'll have a chance to continue calling in to talk about solutions, because we've had a pretty good understanding of the problems. There are a lot more to discuss, but I think we have to put our energy, what can we as individuals, what can we as a few people, what can we as a group do to make a difference? So we're going to have that. Then the second part of our original in-depth investigative report on the coronavirus and what we can do that we're not and should be doing that we have avoided. And today, we're going to deal with what can we take into our body to build our immune system so no matter what virus or bacteria, microbe, pollen, anything that we're faced with that might otherwise create adverse reactions, we're strong. The body can fight it. We don't need to be sick. And if we should get sick, we can recover much faster. So that information is going to be extremely valuable to people. That's our program today. We always begin with the latest on health and healing. So the takeaway message from Tohoku University in Japan, this study, was that you want to turn off inflammation and turn on the healing process, because inflammatory responses, such as what are called microgliosis and increased mRNA expression of inflammatory cytokines, can be inhibited when you take a nutrient, a very good nutrient, And that nutrient, again, just so we all know what it is and we can write it down, it is glutathione. Very important. In fact, years ago when I had the Tri-State Healing Center, we had thousands and thousands of patients, and we saw them getting well and healthy. People were at death's door, had a whole new life. In fact, there was a couple, Ed and Dolly Finkelstein, and I'm mentioning them. Some of you have heard me mention them in the past, but we have a lot of new listeners. We're talking about hundreds of thousands of new listeners. In any case, when he came to us, and he didn't come to us because of his wife, who was head of nursing, and his daughter, a medical doctor, board certified, and he was an engineer, but because a friend of theirs who had had a condition that improved, and it's word of mouth. So they came, but he was so ill, he, with 97% blockage of his carotid artery, he couldn't even walk up one flight of stairs. Our offices were on the second floor. This one, we were at 72nd Broadway. So I came downstairs, and we just sat on the stoop for 2 hours, and we talked. And his calculus for being there was simple. As an engineer, he said, he dealt in facts and in reality. And the operation at his age would have meant that there was a 15% death potential during the operation and an additional 10% death afterwards. So 25%, he said, is there anything else I could try prior to that? I said, well, we can try. So I put together a protocol for him, a very extensive protocol. And I said, you can't implement this all at once. We have to implement it in stages. And we'll see. We have a whole team of doctors upstairs, a whole team of board-certified physicians and nurses, and everyone in the health field who is important is in this office, like 17 people. And you have a chance to talk with the other patients, get feedback. He did, and during this whole time, his wife or daughter were just staring daggers at me. And so he came in, and he started his protocol. Within 3 weeks, he was able to come up the steps unaided. Within 3 months, he had all of his pain, and his calves were gone, and his blood pressure was normal, his blood sugar was normal, and most importantly, his C-reactive protein, homocysteine, were normal, and that's what really is the hidden killer. Fibrinogen and triglycerides and C-reactive protein and homocysteine, these are the silent killers, because when these are elevated, when your homocysteine is up around 15, 16, 17, 18, you're right at a heart attack or stroke. A flip of a coin each day, whether that's your day. And people don't even know it because they're not being tested for it. So these were coming into the normal range. And I said, we're going to know if your arteries are cleaning up. And I had a special protocol just to clean people's arteries. So we went into Central Park and started to walk, and I timed him. How far could he walk and at what pace, and how did he feel, and how long did it take his pulse to recover and his blood pressure to recover? And after about 2 months, he did his first walk around the park. Within 6 months, he and his wife were jogging, came into the running and walking club. Now, Dolly was just one of the nicest human beings you'd ever meet. And she came in several weeks after he started his therapy to take him home. And she had Bell's palsy. Her face was all stretched down to one side. She could barely talk. It's a viral. And there's no cure for it. And it can last years. And it really affects you. And I said, would you like me to help you with that? She said, well, there's no help for it. I know. I teach nursing. I said, well, maybe in your paradigm and world there's no help, but maybe there's something in another one. So I gave her a protocol, and 2 weeks later, she had no Bell's palsy. That suddenly changed those dagger stares to smiles. Her daughter never changed, by the way. Even though I saved both of their lives, it didn't matter. She was not a happy camper. So the end of the story is this. Shortly after seeing the deblocking of his arteries, that he was told the only way to do it was with stents, and those were not permanent. He had deblockage, and the arterial health had completely changed. He had normal blood flow, and he and his wife began to get into racing. They're senior citizens, way up senior citizens. And lo and behold, at the end of the year, when we went into the Metropolitan Athletic Congress that oversaw all athleticism in the tri-state area, like 40,000 athletes fall under that umbrella, and there's an annual award, and it's not based upon favoritism, it's based upon how well you did in a race against the American record. So if you raced and you didn't race against good competition and you won, it didn't count. And they select in different groups, you know, the best athletes to be nominated, and then from those nominations on that night, you find out who won. And I go in, I was invited in, and lo and behold, there they are, both of them. And they won. Not because of popularity, but because they were breaking records. And he was so proud that night, he says, "I finally beat Ted Corbett, the Olympian." Yeah. So now, for the next at least 5 years, and possibly longer, he was outstanding USA Track and Field Athlete of the Year, as was his wife, the New York Road Running Club Athletic Athlete of the Year in his age group, and as his wife in the Metropolitan Athletic Congress, and he was a world champion athlete. So imagine that. Just think of that for a moment. You go to where you're near death. You have a pretty good chance of dying during the procedure after, and the procedure is not even curative or corrective. It is only a temporary Band-Aid to being ideally healthy, and whatever years you have left, they're done being the top athlete in your age group. And think of what that means for other people in their 70s who look at someone like him and her and say, if they can do it, I can do it. So it's not just helping the person, it's them helping all the other people by being a role model. And we need today role models, but we need not Beckham, the football player, who, and all these others who, you know, their egos and their childish behavior. We need mature role models in every area of life. And I know that there are those models in this audience. So if you're doing something acceptable with your life, let us share your story. Let us have you as a role model. You can send photographs in your story from anywhere in the world, by the way, because we're broadcast all over the world, to prnstudio@gmail.com. PRN, that stands for Progressive Radio Network, studio, prnstudio@gmail.com. We'd like to read your stories and share it with others. And if you're doing remarkable things, or if you've overcome diseases and you've overcome adversities, and you're living a new you, think of how that might inspire someone else who's kind of down, depressed, and feeling left out of the future. Okay? So that just reminded me, because one of the things that I made sure that he got and she got every day in their vitamin C drips is glutathione. And mainly because of what it does is the most important detoxifying agent for your liver. And Americans are deficient in it. But now, this university study is showing how good it is for your brain. And that means everyone should be using glutathione, because it helps protect your brain from oxidative stress and turns off the inflammatory agents. So that's good. Now, from Flinders University, which is in Australia, comes a study about why life can get better as we age. This reminds me of a group of people who came to see me who were all old. I'm in my 20s. They're in their 70s and 80s. And they came upstate to the Fertiller Farm in 1972. And it was a group of the Vegetarian Society of America. And they had no place to hold their meeting. And so they called, and I said, "Sure, you can hold it there. I can hold 50 people." And they brought 50 people, and they were all older. Here's what I noticed about them. They had vitalism. I remember how the whites of their eyes just shone. They were clear, not blotchy and not strained. They had no bad breath. That's something I always notice about people. They have bad breath. And they didn't. They had good gums, you could see. And they had lean bodies, strong bodies. Walk in the morning, and I asked, can I go with you? Because I was just providing the facility for the week, but I was there to make sure everything went all right, and if they needed anything, I could help them. And they were vigorous. I mean, some of them were really, you know, there was a guy 80 years old, and he was going up and down these hills, and he was jogging, and really strong body. He was 80 years of age. And so I said, could I do something? Could you all take your pulses before you start when you finish? I'd just be curious. They had low pulses. The average pulse was around 55. That's a super athletic pulse. And when they finished, it never got up over 100. That meant they had healthy arteries, healthy blood flow, and healthy hearts. When they ate, they took their time. They fully masticated their food. The food was not the highlight of the week. It was rather boring, and you know, but they were doing the best they could. And I asked, would you like me to make you a meal? And first they resisted, but then on Wednesday, after eating what looked like gruel and mush, and I made them a gourmet vegan meal. And it, all the things came from the garden. And they really enjoyed it. They weren't into seasonings very much, so I laid out all the different seasonings and what each herb and seasoning did. So I saw their strength and I saw their weaknesses, but what was important was they said that they were healthier then than they had been in the previous 20 or 30 years because they had been regular people following the standard American diet, not exercising as they got older, so their bodies were flabby and out of shape. They were weak and they had pains and aches everywhere, and we would consider that normal until they were motivated by someone who at that time was not known to the general population, but it was a strong advocate of natural hygiene, meaning eating a clean diet, keep your body clean, drink clean water and lots of it, to be fully hydrated, exercise. I mean, very practical and simple and honest information. And he was like 95. Now, I met Dr. Christopher. I met Pavel Arola. I'd never met him. I heard about him. They were legends in the health field. And they were completely different than the Carlton Fredericks and the Betty Lee Morales, that whole group that really controlled the whole health movement. And in my personal opinion, were, you know, not healthy people on any level. But that's my personal opinion. In any case, these people exemplified health. They had hobbies. They read books. The goal, one guy, was to read a book a day and then tell others what he read, nonfiction books. I thought that was wonderful. Now, mind you, this is 1972. There was no New Age moment. It hadn't started yet. There were thinkers. They were thought provocateurs, Gary Snyder and others. But, you know, George Leonard, who wrote The Silent Thread, Marilyn Ferguson, who wrote The Aquarian Conspiracy, those were wonderful and insightful people, but not as whole movements. These people were part of a movement that nobody knew about. That left an indelible impression upon my mind about people who are willing to say no to the old lifestyle, the old belief system, and engage in really radically different principles of living and eating. So they weren't just nurturing the body, they were nurturing the brain. They had something to live for. And I said, look, I'm a young guy, all right? And I'm not that bright, and I haven't had the wisdom. I'm honest about it. I came from a family where my mother encouraged me. Always remember, there's a lot more than you don't know than you do. So don't act like you know something when you don't. You know, stay within the boundaries of what you know, and then look in the boundaryless world to see what you can bring in that allows you to grow. There's always someone smarter, always someone better at everything. So just appreciate what you have. Don't compare yourself to other people. Okay, I learned that from my mother, very humble person, very much a common sense person, that innate wisdom that seems to have been embedded in so many generations, but in the millennials and the younger people, next generation, seems to be limited, meaning not everybody shares those same virtues. We have a massive sense of narcissism in many people today. In any case, I was just motivated, and I said, well, do you fear death? Because you're past the average lifespan. I think at that time, the average lifespan was like 68. And they just smiled. And one woman said, I'm 78 years of age. And no one in my family lived past 65. And I had a big family, she says. And I was afraid of getting old, losing my memory, dying in a hospital. I was afraid of that. But since I shifted over to a different way of living my life, more authentically, no, I wake up every day and I say a prayer at the beginning of the day, thank the universe for allowing me another day on this precious earth. I take nothing for granted. Everyone in my life I reach out to, I call the people who are important to me and just, I remind them, you're in my life. I do not take you for granted. You are a gift. A precious gift. Oh. And that got me to thinking, when was the last time I called my friends and told them they were precious gifts, right? And that's what immaturity and lack of wisdom will do to you. It allows you to remember you might have made things more important than what they are, and you forgot the things that are truly important. So just that 1 week was a real change of perception for me, which changed my reality. I wonder how long they all lived. It's always been a curiosity point for me. But in any case, this study from Flinders University is saying that, hey, life can be better as we age because older people have the wisdom and the time to use mindfulness as a means to improve well-being. Let's face it, most of the people listening right now, you don't have to be any place the rest of your life. So ask yourself, are you in the right place at this time? Do you have the right support system? Do you have right ideas? Are you even allowing yourself to have ideas? Or have you thought, well, that time's past. I had the ideas, but now I'm retired or I'm older. Nobody asks older people for their ideas. That's a shame. That's a tragedy. And so, not for a second, because of your physical or age limitations, should you feel that you should limit yourself with your ideas, because that gives us passion. We become passionate about our ideas. So if you develop positive mindfulness for well-being, mentally and physically and environmentally and humanistically, so you start to look at all people as sacred and look for positive solutions, then the older you get, the greater you become as a living example to others who are not as mindful and haven't put the energy where it's really important. So we should have an appreciation for everything that we've been gifted with instead of being angry at what we've been deprived from. We need to understand that our personal experiences, especially if they can make us stronger, or a gift, even crisis that we went through. Just something to think about. And finally, from Boston Medical Center comes a study published in the American Heart Association's journal Hypertension that when women supplement with vitamin D3 during pregnancy, you can help prevent blood pressure problems in the next generation. You're talking about 25 years of better health and less likelihood to have a heart attack or stroke because you use lemon juice and lime juice to give a salty flavor but without all the sodium. And that was from Boston Medical Center. By the way, from Würzburg University in Germany, published in Science Translational Medicine, again, go easy on the salt and help support a healthier immune function. That's right, lower sodium intake to what your body actually needs improves immune function. Oh, and by the way, for those of you who live with anxiety, from Kumamoto University in Japan comes a study that if you drink matcha, M-A-T-C-H-A, green tea, you can reduce anxiety. Well, a lot of people have anxiety. So if we can reduce it by having a couple cups of green tea, and you can get decaffeinated green tea, that's terrific. So that's the latest on health and nutrition. We are 25 minutes into our program. We're going to take a break and come back to your call.
My name is John. I'm from Long Island. I'm a 59-year-old individual. Regarding the concept of baby boomers and their lack of joining together to demand what they deserve, it seems to me that any of the baby boomers that I know of, in fact, I don't know of any, that aren't Trump supporters and that aren't displaying a lot of cognitive dissonance. And that seems to be, to me, to be the main crux of the issue, at least anyone that I have come in contact with.
Hey, Gary, it's Lynn Wallace over in Southern California. Thanks for taking my call. 61 years old, healthy, have been healthy for 9 years, been listening to your radio station. My mother, Donna Wallace, was a big advocate of your talk. Anyway, talking about all of us, it's tough. I've been trying to shout the chemtrail story and wake up people and start to have classes, and it just seems like everybody is content, number one, in their own life, and are afraid, or they just don't think that they can get out beyond the shelter and of our life. They want to live their life. They've been taught to, they can eat what they want and not have any consequences. And I think this is, this whole thing is hopefully a wake-up call to people to start looking at their health, looking at Mother Earth, start making some changes. I think people just feel they shut it off. They watch the TV and watch a movie to get away from. They all know that it's a situation that needs to change, but they don't know what to do, how to change it, if they can really make a difference. So I think we're in a quandary right now, and we need to get out of it. Thanks for taking my call, and happy Tuesday.
Hi, my name's Mike. I'm calling with a question for Gary about the mainstream media and just seeing how he feels about trusting them during this time. And, he once said that thousands of them, the members of them, journalists, et cetera, are also on CIA payroll. If you could just go into sort of like his proof for that, because it's something that affected me, and I wanted to just have him reiterate that. And then I was wondering if he heard about the Event 201 pandemic exercise involving Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation back in October, where there's a 20-minute video online of, a fictional news video that they created at this event to say that we wouldn't be ready for a coronavirus outbreak specifically, but it sort of exactly details what we're going through now. So I'm wondering if you saw that.
Hi there. I hope this is Gary Knoll show. I'm calling in reference to the question posed on Thursday today. Why I believe seniors are not banding together is that before becoming seniors, in living their lives, they have been directed, contained to think in a certain way. And when one realizes that what has been basically given to us is incorrect, we find ourselves bound by obligations and fear of what may happen if we are to speak out against the forces that do contain. So that is my opinion. And I thank you. I hope I've reached the right number. If I haven't, I'm going to call back. Okay, bye-bye.
Very interesting comment. Okay, to the gentleman who left that message, let me go directly, not to me telling you the truth, about how much control the intelligence agencies, not just the CIA, but the National Security Agencies, Homeland Security, have over media content, where the media will actually send stories to the CIA's information officers, like film scripts, books, articles, before they're published, which means they're censoring out anything that would put them in a bad light. Who are you going to hear right now? You're going to hear the church committee hearings where the head, the CIA director, was under oath. And you're going to hear another person, and that's the head of news for CBS. And he's actually being not just acknowledging that they work with the CIA, but proud of it. Wow. So these are first-person accounts of complicity with news being filtered through that. And today, it's worse. I would trust no one in the mainstream media or on Facebook or Google, and certainly not Wikipedia. Walk away from Wikipedia. Don't use it as a source for anything. Now listen to the evidence you ask for.
Do you have any people being paid by the CIA who are contributing to a major circulation American journal?
We do have people who submit pieces to two American journals.
Do you have any people paid by the CIA who are working for television networks?
This, I think, gets into the kind of getting into the details, Mr. Chairman, that I'd like to get into in executive session.
Do you have any people being paid by the CIA who are contributing to the National News Services, AP and UPI?
Well, again, I think we're getting into the kind of detail, Mr. Chairman, that I'd prefer to handle in executive session.
I thought that it was a matter of real concern that planted stories intended to serve a national purpose abroad came home and were circulated here and believed here, because this would mean that the CIA could manipulate the news in the United States by channeling it through some foreign country. Now, we're looking at that very carefully. We have quite a lot of detailed information, and we will evaluate it, and we will include any evidence of wrongdoing or any evidence of impropriety in our final report and make recommendations.
Senator, do you think that you named the news organizations in your final report?
That remains to be decided.
There you have it. Now, a continuation of part two of an article, an original in-depth investigative reporting article that is meant to not attack anyone, but rather to enlighten you. It's called Lessons from the Fear of Coronavirus, Richard Gale, myself. Now, and please share it. By the way, 20 years ago today is a little anniversary. That's the day I told people in my office and friends I would no longer do any interviews. Until that time, I had done, oh my goodness, thousands of interviews. I was on television, radio, newspapers, all the time. Featured in People magazine, a nice feature. New York Times magazine, a nice feature. New York Times, Time, and People. I was featured in all these. Tonight's show, or Today's show, was on every week on ABC. And then one day I just said on New Year's Eve 2000, I said, if I have done anything, I hope that it is to inspire other people to share that information. So the day comes when we don't have to have a spokesperson for the health movement, but rather people become the spokespersons for a movement because they're a living example of its truths, how they've gotten to maintain their health, and people trust another person. So I've not done any interviews since that time. And today I continue that because I'm asking you, read the articles. If you agree with them and the scholarship that went into them and the lack of bias in them, share them. Share them with everyone you can. That's how we, the people, have a voice that can be a counterbalance to the gross impropriety and bias within the mainstream media. So now, recently, Xinjiang University School of Medicine, one of China's oldest and most prestigious universities, publicly released its handbook of COVID-19 prevention and treatment as the coronavirus, and they released it worldwide. Now, having been the first on the front lines against the new strain, and having gone through the deadly SARS coronavirus epidemic over a dozen years ago, it is one of the most concise documents for healthcare measures to prevent and contain the spread of the virus. Now, the medical researchers identify many important clues that are barely found in English-speaking literature. For example, the report notes the importance of nutrition and the use of probiotics to strengthen an infected patient's microbiome. According to the report, quote, the intestinal microecological balance is broken in COVID-19 patients. Intestinal microecological imbalance may lead to bacterial translocation and secondary infection, end quote. Therefore, the Chinese scientists conclude that it is important to maintain a balance in the body's microecology through nutritional support, meaning eating foods and taking supplements that strengthen the probiotics and prebiotics, and hence good bacteria. Good bacteria, good immune system, stronger body, and especially true if you're infected. Now, earlier, Richard Gill and I released an article about the preventive measures we can take to both support our immune system to lessen the impact of viral infections in general, and that includes the flu, or to recover more rapidly in the event we experience symptoms. Since then, we have learned about other natural approaches to further protect those. Now, we want you to be as healthy and as strong as possible. And to do that, you have to be very careful not to go gung-ho, and when it comes to, let's go do it. We read it someplace. No, look for the science that supports it. For example, there should have been a clear, unequivocal warning about Trump's erroneous claims about the chloroquine safety and list the adverse effects that are in the literature, such as cardiac arrest, heart attacks, ocular toxicity. In China, chloroquine is not being prescribed unless the patient has had an electrocardiogram performed. None of this was noted during Trump's press conference or in the media since then. In addition to conventional treatment, the scientists at these hospitals list herbal formulas based upon traditional Chinese medicine studies. Therefore, let me just take a few moments to summarize. First and foremost is vitamin C. Unlike the United States, most of the world, especially in Asia and the continental Europe, recognizes vitamin C as an important antiviral agent. It is also a remarkable antioxidant shown to ward off infections. There's a large body of research to support vitamin C's efficacy during cold seasons. At this moment, China is conducting several clinical trials with intravenous vitamin C to treat patients infected with the Corona-19 strain virus. The city government of Shanghai is now actively treating patients with intravenous vitamin C. A trial at Shanggang Hospital in Wuhan is using 24,000 milligrams per day intravenously. The Wuhan study can be viewed on the U.S. National Library of Medicine's website, clinicaltrials.gov/ct2/show, and then you'll see it. It's in the peer-reviewed literature. Separately, In 2017, the University of Helsinki reviewed 148 studies that indicated vitamin C can alleviate or prevent infections caused by bacteria and viruses. The most extensive indication studied was the common cold. Among people who are physically active, vitamin C was most beneficial. However, many studies relied upon very low doses of vitamin C, which likely contributed to the major or the minor benefits observed. Some of these were as low as 100 milligrams a day. I would never recommend 100 milligrams a day of vitamin C. I would start at 2 to 3,000 milligrams and build up from there. In addition, the studies showed that cold's duration was frequently shorter and less severe among people with sufficient vitamin C levels. An earlier randomized double-blind controlled study to investigate vitamin C's ability to protect elder hospital patients from acute respiratory infections was conducted at Huddersfield University in the United Kingdom. The study relied upon a very low dose of only 200 milligrams per day. Nevertheless, with that tiny little amount that none of you would take and say that was adequate, those who received the vitamin C at 200 milligrams fared significantly better than those taking a placebo. There was another controlled placebo study involving 715 students between the ages of 18 and 32 taking 1,000 milligrams four times a day. Now you're getting realistic. This is where a therapeutic benefit turns in after 5,000 milligrams or close to it. The test group had an 85% decrease in flu and cold symptoms compared to the control group, and this was a placebo-controlled study. So for those quack watch people who, in my opinion, are quacks, the real quacks, and those who use very low doses to disprove that vitamins work, when they know full well that at higher doses, therapeutic doses, they are magnificent and frequently cannot compete with no side effects any of the drugs, but they're protecting the drugs, they're protecting proprietary economic interests. That's the reality. So let's try to encourage people to take orally more vitamin C or visit those physicians where they're using intravenous vitamin C. Now, I just got a report today, and I will, excuse me, I'll go into it in greater depth tomorrow about Mount Sinai to begin, along with some other hospitals using vitamin C. And some doctors are already acknowledging on the record they're using vitamin C for their corona patients and with good results. So, what is natural and can help therapeutically can naturally prevent. And that's not true with drugs. If you took chemotherapy to prevent cancer, you would end up with cancer. If you took statins to prevent heart disease or elevated cholesterol, you'd end up with severe heart conditions. But if you took vitamin C to treat cancer, AIDS, or any other condition, you could also take it to prevent. Now, another superstar is vitamin D. Now, vitamin D is unique. Barely a week goes by without another study appearing in the peer-reviewed literature that looks at either vitamin D's therapeutic characteristics or the risks of vitamin D deficiency. A high number of otherwise healthy adults have been reported to have low vitamin D, and mostly at the end of the winter season. Deficiency rates vary between 42% for the entire population, 82% for Black Americans, and 63% for Latinos. Because the melanin in your skin blocks its absorption and conversion into vitamin D3. So you've got to take it orally. People who are housebound, institutionalized, or those who work night shifts are most likely to be vitamin D deficient. And this includes many elderly people who receive limited exposure to sunlight. It's been shown that vitamin D deficiency is associated with an increased risk of autoimmune illnesses and greater susceptibility to infection. It also boosts up the body's mucosal defenses, which are critical for protecting ourselves, our nasal cavities, our lungs, from a virus or bacteria getting in there and then infecting our upper respiratory tract. Harvard Massachusetts General Hospital, in conjunction with a global collaboration study to follow up on a Cochrane analysis of 25 separate randomized controlled trials involving 11,000 participants, confirmed vitamin D taken daily or weekly significantly cut the risk of respiratory infections in half. For children, a Children's Hospital of Philadelphia meta-review identified 13 of 18 studies confirming that vitamin D deficiency was associated with an increased incidence of acute lower respiratory infection. Also, melatonin. There's a strong group of evidence-based science that severe coronavirus cases and deaths are also associated with cytokine storms besides secondary infections. And one cytokine in particular is NLRP3 and was earlier discovered to be associated with the SARS virus as well. And since children's melatonin levels are at their peak up until puberty, this may be one of the reasons, just one, why coronavirus infections in children under 9 are typically very mild or show no symptoms at all. Is this perhaps a reason why infected pregnant mothers admitted to Wuhan University Hospital gave birth to babies free of the virus? Now, as we increasingly age, the more rapidly our natural melatonin levels drop off. Melatonin has the unique property of inhibiting NLRP3 elevations after viral infection. For this reason, the amino acid melatonin can be used to prevent NLRP3 cytokine storms that contribute to acute respiratory distress syndrome, or what's known as ARDS, and acute lung injury, ALI, that are characteristic of severe coronavirus cases. Then you have one of the superstars, nitric oxide. Nitric, N-I-T-R-I-C, oxide, O-X-I-D-E. Now, nitric oxide is a very important signaling molecule found throughout your body that has been associated with improved vasodilation, the regulation of cellular life and death, and to strengthen the immune system's responses. And like melatonin, newborns have very high levels of nitric oxide in their nasal passages, which provides added immunity unseen in the large majority of adults. Now, nitric oxide, moreover, inhibits NLRP3 cytokine activation. And this is another reason why vitamin C supplementation is so important, because the vitamin supports the body's production of nitric oxide. The more vitamin C, the more nitric oxide. There's also evidence that nitric oxide is very effective against coronavirus. Dr. Sarah Ackerström and colleagues at the Swedish Institute for Infectious Disease Control and the Karolinska Institute discovered that nitric oxide, quote, specifically inhibits the replication cycle of SARS coronavirus, most probably during the early stages of infection, end quote. An earlier study conducted at the University of Leuven in Belgium noticed nitric oxide inhibited SARS coronavirus cell infection in vitro. Now, the best sources of nitric oxide for your body would be through food. Beets, hence beet juice, eating beets, all right, can boost your nitric oxide levels within 45 minutes. So having a glass of beet juice before you go out for a run, great for you. And other excellent sources are dark chocolate, rhubarb, which, by the way, has the highest level of nitrates, and leaf greens and pomegranates, and foods high in vitamin C. Then you have zinc. Many of us are already aware that zinc supplements can ward off and reduce the onset of colds and flu-like symptoms. According to the Cochrane database, meta-analysis of zinc's potential to reduce the length and severity of non-influenza-like flus and colds, the scientific evidence is quite conclusive to support zinc's effectiveness. In addition, there are studies show strong low-risk bias, which supports their legitimacy. By the way, there's a 2010 in vitro study by scientists at Leiden, a University Center for Infectious Diseases in the Netherlands, concluded that zinc will block the replication of coronavirus and other viruses. Another study published in the prestigious journal The Lancet by researchers at University College London recommended that zinc formulas be used alongside conventional antiviral drug therapy that specifically target COVID-19. Thereby acknowledging zinc's antiviral properties. Now we've got another superstar to help you with viruses, N-acetylcysteine. That's the letter N-A-C-E-T-Y-L, then the word cysteine, C-Y-S-T-E-I-N-E. Oxidative stress is a well-known pathway for microbial infections such as virus and bacterial pneumonia, especially in the lungs. When the lungs are subject to serious oxidative stress, there is an increase in inflammatory cytokines that play a role in different respiratory infections, including influenza and coronavirus and echovirus and adenovirus and Coxsackie virus and others. Therefore, certain antioxidants can alleviate lung damage due to oxidative stress, and N-acetylcysteine is one of those. And then you have the absolute superstar, colloidal silver. It's a nanoparticle of colloidal silver, and it's been studied extensively for its antibacterial properties, but less so for infectious viruses. Most studies for silver's antiviral activity has focused on HIV-1, hepatitis B, herpes virus, and respiratory syncytial virus and RSV. There's an issue of the Journal of Nanotechnology in the University of Texas and Mexico University observed in this study where it was published that silver nanoparticles kill HIV-1 within 3 hours, and they suspected that this may be true for many other viruses as well. However, this conclusion may be too premature and more research is necessary. There are studies showing silver's efficacy against respiratory viruses. One large, really good study was by Japan's National Defense Medical College Research Institute, published in the highly respected Journal of Molecular Sciences, and it recommended that Japanese healthcare workers take nanosilver to protect them from viruses, including coronavirus. Then a joint study from Deakin University in Australia and Osaka University in Japan found that colloidal silver significantly protected cells from H3N2 flu infection and prevented viral growth of the lungs. I won't go into the science because we're out of time, but astragalus, licorice root in its proper liquid form, elderberry, sambucu nigra, elderberry, very important, and echinacea, olive leaf extract, oregano oil are all beneficial. So these are some things that we can do. Read the article, download it, and this is all based upon quality peer-reviewed science. Thank you all for listening, and call in. Share your opinions on the issues that we talk about, and you have an opportunity then to talk back. This is a forum for all of us. We can learn from each other, and we can certainly learn when we're not afraid to give our opinion. And this audience is both insightful and articulate. The number to call to leave your opinion on different things, including what are the solutions to help so many of the seniors, including homeless seniors, including seniors who are on the street, or seniors who are alone and depressed and ridden with anxiety. 862-800-6805. 862-800-6805 is our talkback. Have a nice day, everybody.